It's hard to believe that you're only 18 years old and you've been told you'll spend the rest of your life in this facility.
I believe it's possible that I can be here the rest of my life. I'm working on my peer to this day. In the bed.
If you believe that you can or you can't, you're right. Whichever one you choose, if you believe you can do it, you're right.
This is my sincere prayer. My name is Corey Frazier. I thank y'all for listening to my talk. I'm just a kid from Flint, Michigan. I pray that all y'all have a blessed day on purpose.
The Correct the Felon Podcast with your boy Inspires the Block, which is me, the host, the one you hear coming through your speakers or you seeing over here visually. But once again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in time after time. To the Correct the Felon Podcast, because over here at the Correct the Felon Podcast, we like to have conversations on issues that I believe, not just me, but a lot of other people believe that need to be had within the Black community. I am a criminal justice reform advocate. I believe in criminal justice reform. I'm also an at-risk youth advocate. I love working with young boys, especially young Black boys in the community. I have this niche for it because I'm somebody that went to prison. I'm somebody that understands these guys in a way that a lot of other people wouldn't. And it's the reason why, because I lived in those streets as a young kid up until I went to prison back in 1995. And didn't get out to the 2012. I got locked up at 17, 3 months before my 18th birthday. And I didn't get out till I was 35 years old. So from 17, 16, 15, 14, 13, I was these young boys that you see now in the streets. Me and all my homeboys, full-fledged gangbangers, civic hood gangsters coming out of the northwest side of Flint, Michigan. We had various factions, but we was all just one hood. We rep Crip. Some of us was GDs. Some of us was Crips. Some of us was Black gangsters. Like, I mean, and we did it to the fullest. Like, we broke in houses. We did drive-bys in broad daylight. I mean, we sold crack to any and everybody. We broke in houses, stole cars, robbed people, beat up innocent people. I mean, you think about it, we did it. Only thing that we did was never involved with, especially me and my close homeboys, was sexual assault. That was something that we never, never did. Most of us had girlfriends, so we understood it, or sisters. So, that was just something we didn't do. But when it comes to just being very, very violent in the community, doing shit that you don't, think that young Black boys is doing in the community, yeah, we was doing all that. So this is why this current generation, I have a special connection to them, because I understand why, to a certain extent, why they doing what they're doing, right? This is a generational pattern that we see. And there's reasons why young Black boys and also young Black girls nowadays is acting the way that they're acting in the Black community. And what we have to do as older adults, especially as older Black adults, we have to pay attention to what's going on with our youth. Like, I have three sons that I consider, but biologically they're my stepsons. I've been raising these boys for the past 16 years. Even before I got out of prison. Now that I've been out of prison almost 12 years, they have turned out to be some nice young men. Their journey is not over with. They've had their experience with dealing with the law, right? But it has been nothing to the extent that, I dealt with. It's just what it is. I mean, most of the time it's traffic tickets. They can't stop. They don't know how to pay tickets. I don't know why young motherfuckers don't know how to pay traffic tickets, but they just don't. And this is how they end up in trouble with the law. But I have this connection, like I said, with young boys because I was them. But there's a difference, and I will say that, with my generation and compared to the current generation. We didn't have social media. And for some reason, we wasn't this blatantly disrespectful to the dead. Yeah, we know people that had died. We got partners that have been killed, as we call it out there in the streets, in the line of duty. I got homeboys that was murdered. Yeah, I got homeboys right now that's still incarcerated for murders. So I know what it's like. when especially dealing with this particular mindset of young people. But if we had social media at that time, we'd have did most of the same shit that they doing now. This is why when I, you know, it hurts me when I see it, but it's like, I get it, because we would have did the same thing. We would have dissed the dead. It wouldn't have been nothing, no different. If we'd have made rap songs, you know, smoking on somebody. You know, so when I see this stuff, you know, as disturbing as it is, you know, I get it. And this is why I wake up every day praying and working to provide some kind of solution to a lot of these young boys. I think I really, really got one. I'm going to talk about that on another episode. But it's all my solution that I see to these young boys. Nah, I'm going to talk about it on here. We just get to it. Fuck it. I'm just going to put it all out here today on this podcast. Fuck it. How I feel about what's going on with our young black youth. But, you know, these young boys has advanced from the mindset that we had till now, all based off of social media. Like, social media has grabbed the attention of our young black boys to an extent to where they have a wider audience to be dumb, to be stupid. And the thing about it is going to garner the attention just from being dumb and stupid over social media. And we'd have been them same little niggas if we had that. But one of the things that we got to do nowadays, and especially as black parents, is that we have to pay real close attention to the language in which they're using. For real. Just listen to how they talk. And the only way that you're going to really find out the language that they're using is if you talk with them. You may not even catch it. You may not even understand it in the beginning. But you will begin to learn it, because what you're going to do is you're going to hear them speaking a certain language, and then you're going to hear it in rap songs. You're going to hear their friends speaking it. You know, that's how it all start happening. And one of the things that I started paying attention to is this term that a lot of young boys or young girls, like saying in the hood, like to use. And it's called, the term is called crashing out, like, or crash out. Like, I remember hearing it a couple of times, and it didn't really jog my memory, because I'm like, what the fuck is that? I heard a couple of times on a rap song or something like that. And then as I began to get on YouTube more and start watching certain videos, you know, I started realizing, like, damn, I'm hearing this term a lot. So I went to my 19-year-old son and I asked, what the fuck is this term crashing out? And he said, that means where you just crash out. You get your life up. I'm like, that's a thing. He's like, hell yeah, that's a thing. Everybody, he said, hell yeah, but he like, yeah, that's a thing. And when he told me that, it became clear, and I began to see it more and more and more and more, that this term crashing out is something that these young boys is doing in the community nowadays. Like, they willingly throwing their life away. And the thing that bothers me the most is, like, don't get it twisted. I'm not going to glorify any type of criminal activity or criminal behavior. But there was a difference when I came up that we tried to get away. We didn't try to get caught. We didn't want to go to jail for the shit that we know that we shouldn't have been doing to a certain extent. But we wanted to get away. We didn't want to just throw our life away. We knew we can go to jail. We didn't know to the extent of the consequences, but we knew that at the very least, we can go to the boys' home. We always thought that we would get out if we got in trouble by 21 years old. We didn't know that we would end up doing life sentences. Nah, nobody never even ran that across us. This is why most of the time we did the shit that we was doing. I remember me and my cousin having a conversation one time, and I asked him, because he was knee deep off in the streets and gang banging like we was. And when a lot of us started going to prison in the early 90s, in the mid 90s, he totally stopped doing a lot of street shit, stopped gang banging and all that. And I remember talking with him, this is probably about a year or so ago. And I asked him, I said, why did you stop gang banging, man? Why did you, stop doing a lot of shit that you was doing in the streets? And my cousin told me, said, because at first, I ain't think we can get in trouble for that shit. He said, until y'all start going to prison, getting 50 to 90 years in life without parole sentence, he's like, oh, whoa, no, we really can get in trouble for this shit. And I'm like, yeah, you fucking right. And this was one of the things that, one of the reasons why he stopped, because for some reason, he ended up starting to understand, like, no, you can go to prison for the rest of your life behind this shit. And in a lot of these ways, we was crashing out, because we did do drive-bys and a lot of wild shit in the daytime hours. But we still tried to get away. We tried to run from it, which most people do. I ain't going to front. That's what they do even when they crash out in real life. Nowadays, they still run and shit and try to get away. But no, we had every intent. A lot of shit that we did, we just did it at night. We just didn't want to catch nobody at the motherfucking police station and kill him. It wasn't that deep. It was times we caught some of our ops with their mamas. They got passes. Every time they was with their mama, they got a pass. Yeah, because we didn't care about having a body like that. Yeah, we wanted to let you know what the fuck we was doing in these streets, and you was about to get fucked up. But if you had your mama with you, your granny, a child, a lot of us wasn't having kids that young, but some of us did. If you had a kid with you, you caught a pass. It's more likely that kid would be your younger brother, your younger sister. So, you know, you got a pass on that. But you got a pass. But this generation nowadays, they don't have a clue or no kind of understanding on life and death. I think that they think that death is a myth, or that eventually is something that you're going to come back from, or you're going to get another shot at this thing. Because at the rate that they will kill, man, it's not like no other. I don't get that part. Just to do it. Like me and some of my niggas, man, we had girlfriends, so there was times and days we wasn't even in the streets. Plus, as we started to get a little older, we wanted a few dollars, so we started to try to make a little money as you got older. You wasn't just full-fledged gangbanger no more. You was maybe on some side of town trying to get you a few dollars in your pocket, then came back to the hood and got with the gangbanger shit. But you wanted to do that. You wanted some money in your pocket, and you wanted to sit up with your girl. Now, I be wondering with this generation nowadays, because they be in so much of the bullshit that, you know, man, do y'all got any girlfriends? Huh? Do y'all even got time for that? Because y'all on so many drugs, y'all doing so much in the streets, and now they done added certain illegal hustles like, you know, whatever, but they're nonviolent that y'all starting to figure out. You know, this shit is getting real wild, and we got to pay attention to it, because one thing for sure, two things for certain, man, we got to make sure that these children or these young boys understand the difference between life and death. Just because you kill somebody and go to prison don't mean that you're going to get out. For example, down here in the state of Georgia, you can be a juvenile and still get sentenced to a life without parole bid. Even though the United States Supreme Court ruled it unconstitutional. In certain states in the country, you still can get a life sentence. Or you can be the one that get killed. I mean, you don't want to be on either end of that shit, man. Like, it ain't worth it. Trust me, somebody that been to prison, somebody that over 17 years, just now trying to figure out life. Nah, that shit ain't what's happening. That shit ain't if you, trust me, once you get to prison, once you get some years into prison, especially about around, I'm guessing year 8-ish, that bitch start to hit. Yeah, it start to hurt. You really start to feel it mentally and emotionally. In some cases, physically, depending on what kind of person you end up being while you in prison. So, y'all got to realize this crashing out shit is not worth it. And this is the thing that we as parents got to understand, or older adults or OGs, that we have to find a way to get these young boys, some of these young girls, to understand that just intentionally throwing your life away, man, that shit ain't worth it. It's not. Because trust me, once you make it to that penitentiary, life is totally fucking different than what you know it to be. It's not glamorous. It's not fun. It's not exciting. It's mental torture. And in some case, physical torture for a lot of you boys in there. Somebody's going to have physical problems in prison. Somebody is. I didn't have them. But mentally, emotionally, psychologically, yeah, that shit was bothering me because I hated being there. I hated it with a passion. That's why I'm out now doing what I do, because, nah, fuck that. That shit is not fun. being in prison. So I'm going to end this podcast on this note here. And two things on how I'm going to mention this when it comes to the term of crashing out. To all the OGs, to all the parents, to all the older folks, just understand that this is a thing that's going on. That if you got, you know, one of these little bad, little wayward motherfuckers that's in and out of the streets, and you know they're in the streets, I mean, as a parent, you know. And I'm talking to all the ones that's keeping the blind eye, acting like your child ain't out there doing what he's doing. You know what the fuck he's doing. And I'm talking to y'all. If your child is out there in them streets day in, day out, not going to school, selling drugs, you catching him with pistols and he high off all kind of drugs, understand that your child may be in a position to where he or she would just throw their life away to the penitentiary. Or either to death. Just give it right up like it's like nothing. I'm talking about your child go inside a well-known grocery store and shoot somebody in the head. In front of everybody. So I think it's imperative that you keep in mind and keep your eyes open to all the clues and signs that if your child potentially going to be in the same position, try to reel that child in. I don't give a damn what you got to do. Move them out of state, her out of state. Whatever you have to do as a parent, understand that that can happen. And then to all you youngins out there that want to crash out, only thing I can tell you is this here. Prison is not pretty. And it won't be fun. So, with that being said, I thank everybody. Please subscribe, like, comment, and share the Corrected Felon Podcast on all platforms. I thank everybody for tuning in. I pray that everybody have a blessed day on purpose. I'm just a kid from Flint, Michigan. Holla at you, boy.